Our Father in heaven, you are there. You have been there every time we have called upon you. In our darkest nights, you have been there. In our sorrows and in our rejoicing, you have always been there. And because you are a constant God, we know that you are here right now. And we ask, Lord, that as we take a moment now to hear a word from the Holy Scriptures, we pray that you would tune our hearts to hear that voice that has been speaking to us already from the very beginning of this day. So thank you, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The question was the most important question asked in over 400 years. Where is he? Born King of the Jews. It was asked by the wise men. These were men of noble birth, educated, wealthy, very influential. They were philosophers. They were known as the counselors of the East. And they were learned in all the wisdom of the East, and they studied the Hebrew Scriptures. In particular, the Messianic prophecies of the Old Testament just arrested their attention. And so as a result of their studies, they began a journey of faith, a faith that would take them over 400 miles by camel. They would sleep during the day, and then at night, they would keep their eyes fixed on that star. A week went by, 2 weeks went by, 4 weeks went by, and finally, one evening, their hearts begin to pound a little faster as they notice that the star comes to rest above Jerusalem. Finally, Jerusalem, we have arrived to our destination. Can you imagine the expectation in their hearts as they got off those camels and started racing towards the gates of Jerusalem? But once they entered there, they were very confused. It was quiet. No festivities, no celebrations, no royal notices. What is this? There's no marshaling of troops. There's no knowledge of the newborn king. What is going on? Where's everyone? No hail to the king? How is it? The king is born. I can imagine them racing down the quiet streets, the dark streets of Jerusalem, wondering, questioning, confused. We have seen a star. We have come to worship him. Does anyone know about this? My question for you this morning is, how can the greatest event in the history of mankind be missed by those closest to him? Come with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we'll begin with verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. We're going to take a close look at some of the key characters in our story today. We'll begin with Herod. Herod was an interesting character. 25 years before this moment, he put two of his sons, Aristobulus and Alexander, to death. Troubled? Troubled? Barely 2 years before this day, he put his other two sons to death. The second of his 10 wives, Marian, was killed, all because he suspected that they wanted to unseat him from his throne. And only 5 days before his own death, he killed his other son, fearing a conspiracy. Troubled indeed. So now, put yourself in this context. Now, with the news of the birth of a new king, this devious ruler was aroused at the hint of a possible rival. And how about Jerusalem? Jerusalem, the text says, was troubled too. Why? With the king's track record of paranoia, wouldn't you be too? I would. Everyone's jumpy. Everyone's on edge. You can feel the tension in the air. There's soldiers running all over. Who knows what the king will do next? But wait a minute. If we read the text as it reads, Herod could have found the king. Notice verse 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 8. And he said to the and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, and I will come and worship him also. Why didn't the king find the newborn child? The reason is because he didn't go. He remained on his throne. I mean, really, why didn't he go? One could wonder, was he afraid? Was he afraid of armies? Was he afraid of zealots? Was he afraid of some assassin lurking in dark shadows? While those may be possibilities, no. When you take a close look, you can't help but to realize that he could have gone, but he didn't go because he was not willing to go. He remained on his throne. He remained on his throne. Herod knew of the Messiah to come. The words of the wise men, we have seen his star, they kept ringing in his ears. But he knew that there couldn't be two kings in the land. Herod was afraid to be deposed. But what would he do if he wasn't the king? He feared the implications. He would not leave the throne for anyone. For anyone. That's Herod. Now, we may understand why the worldly king, mean, paranoid Herod, did not find the king. But why didn't the scribes and the chief priest find the king? They knew the prophecies. They were students of the Old Testament scriptures. Didn't they know where and when the Messiah was to be born? Why didn't they go? They didn't go because they were not willing to go. Put yourselves in their shoes. They did nothing else but study the scriptures. They were devoted to the reading of the scriptures. People would go to them first for prophetic interpretation. They were the ones that the people sought after to understand the prophecies of the scriptures. And now, some magi had come to them to call their attention to the birth of the Messiah? Just the thought that God had or may have bypassed them for some Eastern uncircumcised astronomers to proclaim the Messiah? They were deeply disturbed by this. We can call it what it is, pride. Pride and envy rises in their hearts. They would not even go to Bethlehem to see whether these things were so. They would not leave their thrones. So let's pause and take our attention from the text to our hearts. From Herod, the chief priest, to your life, to mine. What makes us find the king? I'll tell you what it is. A willingness to step down from our own thrones. A willingness to worship the only one who is worthy. As long as Herod was afraid to be deposed, he would not face the King of Kings. Herod did not want to change. I'm going to sit on my throne. I'm going to remain on my throne. Nobody is going to get me out of my throne. Herod did not have a song in his heart. He could not sing along in the words of the hymn, "I'd rather have Jesus than to be the king of a vast domain." As long as the scribes focused on having been deposed by God, they would not be willing to bow before the Son of God. Thrones of pride. There was no room in their hearts for Jesus. What is your throne? What's my throne? A question that we can ask God in the stillness of the night or any moment. God is there. God, am I sitting on a throne that I'm not willing to step down from? What is your throne? Is it resentment for injustices? Is it cherished habits that you're not willing to let go or to release? Is it career objectives that don't have to be necessarily evil or bad things? Personal opinions. Is pride your throne? Is power or fear your throne? What are you not willing to let go of in search of the King? What did the kings from the east do? Ah, these men. They left their families and ventured out into some foreign territory. This was all new land for them, and yet they were willing to go out. They traveled for a month, at least, through desert dunes. These men encountered wild beasts. They were watching out for ruthless robbers. They endured wilderness sun and cold night temperatures. Think about the sacrifice. What they were willing to endure in search of the king. They were willing to leave their thrones in search of a king. And holding on to what? a text, one little text, in the book of Numbers, and a star in the heavens. That's it. But they left their thrones in church of the king. And that's why they found the king. That's why they found themselves in the very presence of the newborn king. And do we have a cue from the king himself? He left his throne to become a babe. Let's read on verses 9 to 11. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The joys of leaving your throne in search of the king. Whereas the scribes merely heard of the king, Herod feared the king, but those who left their thrones, they saw the king. Whereas the scribes, they fell into dejection for feeling slighted by God, and Herod fell into an insane rage for slighting God. Those who left their thrones, the text says they fell down and worshiped God. Whereas the scribes, they held all knowledge to themselves, and Herod held all power to himself. Those who left their thrones, they gave all manner of treasure to him. Oh, the joys of leaving your throne in search of the king. You see, when you leave what's dearest to you, you receive what's dearest to God. No longer in charge of yourself. No longer being the one who must sit on the throne of your life. Are you willing to step down because you have found the king? These men went back changed men. Why? Because they had found the king. Hey, friends, church, as we contemplate this ancient story and the glory of the birth of the King of Kings, today, the message that speaks to the heart is simply this: let Jesus Christ sit on the throne of your life. We're no longer the king. We don't reign over the affairs of our lives, of our wants, of our needs. He will. And when he appears in the clouds of heaven, on that glorious day, we too will be able to cast our gold before his feet. You know, this Christmas, some of us, we need to recognize that there is another king that was born to rule, and it ain't us. There is a king who alone is worthy. Won't you leave your throne behind to let and to find the King of Kings rule in your life? Your king, my king. And when you find him, will you welcome him to sit on the throne of your life and reign supreme, be the Lord of all? Today, as we have been contemplating the story of the birth of the king in song, I know that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to us. And as we take the simple message from this well-known story. Our prayer is that you'll be willing to make a choice to say, I'm willing to let go, and I'm willing to let God be the King of my life. Lord Jesus, I'm willing to step down. You take the throne and lead in my life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much that the Holy Scriptures have contained these stories for millenniums, so that today we may also ponder the inspired message and let your word speak to our hearts. Today, Lord, we have contemplated the responses of many. And yet it's the response of those wise men that truly compel us, if only because they ultimately were the ones who were in the very presence of God. And that's where we want to be. And so, Lord, make us willing to be willing to step down from our throne, whatever that may be. And go ahead, Lord, be King of all. Be King of our life. Be King of my life. And rule supreme, for you are worthy. And we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.